Not all marketing is created equally. It might be way easier to market a Lamborghini than, I don't know, enterprise security software. But if you really want to be blown away by incredible marketing, that's exactly where you need to look. In this episode of Marketers in Capes with GCMO, we talk with an incredible marketer about the full stop best possible way to work with an analyst, how their funnel qualification evolved over three generations, and a really cool way to generate content leads with the equivalent of a security SAT test that ended up bringing in 1,600 leads before they ever released the content. But before we go any further, my name is Eitan Buckman. You're wisely investing time in listening to Marketers in Capes, and today we're talking to Idan from Caddo Networks. I'll let him introduce himself.
I'm Idan Herskovitz. I'm doing marketing for the last 10 years in B2B companies. What we do at Caddo is basically a revolutionary platform that is called SASE. That's a new term. It's basically bundles networking and security together under one platform.
Is that a category that you guys have created, or is it something that was in the space already?
So it was not in the space. We always consider ourselves as a converged platform of network and security. And one of the amazing thing that our CMO did was to discuss this with Gartner for years, which eventually led to a coined category by Gartner that basically portrayed Caddo as a poster child of that category.
That's amazing. I feel like there's no better way to own a category than literally create it together with Gartner. What went into that actual process? How does that happen?
4 or 5 years of discussions with Gartner, ongoing discussions with analysts. There's a whole movement in the market from an on-prem security or on-prem networking to cloud-based. There was a baby milestone called SD-WAN, and SASE evolved from those two. So basically, you can think of it as a movement of the market together with our persistent discussing it with Gartner, and then other players basically made the same movement, I guess. So when all stars got aligned, I think that Gartner said, okay, there's a new category. There are about 5 vendors that have a potential of building such a thing. Caddo already is doing it for several years. And now, maybe the next challenge of this is if this would stick in the market, or people will dissolve it, or vendors will dissolve it. And luckily, everyone basically embraced it. Google SASE, S-A-S-E, you're going to find tons of articles and tons of written content by the vendors, by publications and so on, saying, okay, that's basically the next big thing in networking and security, which basically creates a huge wave that we can ride on.
As a marketing organization in an area where there's very deep involvement with analysts, how do you need to set up internally?
So I think it needs to be someone that is like PMM master. Our CMO is, his name is Ishai Yovel. He's pitching and talking with them. He knows the in and outs of our product, of our market and the movement in the market and so on. It needs to be someone that is super in the details and very technical in order to have an intelligent conversation with an analyst.
Stepping away a little bit from the analyst side, if you had to kind of describe your marketing strategy as a whole, how would you encapsulate it?
What we try to do is to get as many business as possible.
That's a good strategy.
Try to find a different quote from a different marketer, right? So try to own the market as much as possible. We do that with content. So we try to generate a lot of content in order to hit on people on their buying cycle. So if you think of a buying cycle between someone that is educated or being educating or someone that is in the selection phase, we try to build content that is relevant to each of those stages. That way we can profilize that person and try to engage him with the right timing. So if someone is only being educated on SASE, only being educated on SD-WAN, and he's looking and reading content, what is SD-WAN? We know it's not someone that is worth our time to engage him on a high touch level. I mean, giving that guy a phone call, but we can nurture that person with content.
How do you actually profile those users or discover what buying stage the users are as they consume your content? Is there any like strategy that you use for that?
One of our most downloadable assets was how to reevaluate your network security vendor. So that's the title. Think of Cato using all of our ammunition in order to promote that kind of a content. And then someone downloads it. So you can basically do a whole lot of profilization using just that activity, because the asset, how to reevaluate your network security vendor, means that you are upon renewal, you are using a network security gear, and you're probably some kind of a decision maker, or at least an influencer, because otherwise you won't be reading this kind of content. So this content basically puts you as a lead with the right labeling, saying, okay, this guy is looking for something, and then you pick up the phone and call that person, knowing everything that I told you about, just because he downloaded that specific asset.
And do you cross-reference that with firmographics or demographics, or is it all based on the type of content that the person consumes?
So definitely, yes. We have a two-dimensional scoring system that consists out of demographic, firmographic, activity, and sometimes even intent that we get from third-party vendors. We mesh everything, all that data together to generate some kind of a priority score, and then to cater it to our next stop in the food chain, which are BDRs.
Did you start from day one knowing that you need a system like that, or did you just slowly evolve into a more sophisticated kind of validation stack?
That's basically our third generation of scoring. We started in a very linear scoring system, firmographic plus demographic equals number, cross the threshold, boom, you have an MQL. But then we saw that we need to be smarter, so we moved into two-dimensional. Now we have almost three-dimensional, and we always try to fine-tune it with the help of the BDRs, their feedback, with the help of sales. Basically, when you think of it, the scoring system or the sorting system is not for BDRs, is for sales, because you try to evaluate what will be the best sale, not the easiest person to outreach to.
That sounds like music to a salesperson's ears. I'm sure this industry is very sales or relationship centric. How do you make sure that you and sales are partners together in that?
We have an open channel. I'm talking about weeklies. I'm talking about weeklies with sales, weeklies with BDRs. And we constantly read the reject reason. There are two dimensions we can learn from. One will be the source. Where did we get this lead from? Is it from advertising? Is it from social, intent vendor, content syndication, and so on? Secondly, what's the content that drove this lead to become an MQL? By looking at those two dimensions, there will be a lot of opportunities to either dial up or down that specific lead.
And this is a super tactical question, but I know it's come up with other people. When a BDR or a salesperson rejects a lead, is that a drop-down menu explaining why they reject it, or is it a free text?
We have a drop-down of about 20 different reasons. That's a lot, but that's the only way I think it's granular enough for us to take action.
Can you walk me through like your favorite Cato content and how that impacts the marketing and sales funnel?
So I'm going to talk about surveys. So I think there are two types of surveys. All the SaaS vendors or cloud-based vendors that have a lot of data, they generate some kind of a data pool survey That's something that is really great, very insightful. And that's basically the trend nowadays. In the past, there were surveys that basically survey people. And we basically took this approach because almost no one is using it anymore. So we thought, what about us ask or survey our target audience in order to generate some interesting stuff for us to PR about it, to generate some brand awareness, maybe to get some thought leadership. And also we can take this data, slice and dice it, and generate a lot of content throughout the year. So we took that survey approach.
The challenge on surveys is always to get people to answer, right?
The short answer would be give a t-shirt to anyone who fills out the survey.
Just a t-shirt, that's all.
Just a t-shirt. But there is a trick here with that t-shirt, because one of the incentives is data. We try to make sure that people would submit this survey in order to get peer data. So we say that this survey is anonymous. We know that you are an IT guy because you got this email. You use SurveyMonkey, which is kind of the standard, again, anonymous. People going through 50-something questions, it actually works like the opposite, right? The longer is becoming almost better. Sending a very thorough survey, 50 questions, and every question, you see that you want to get the answers of your peers. Will your security budget grow in the next year? So people are answering it. We have 1,600 people signing that survey every year.
How do you get their data if you told them that it's anonymous?
So the last question would be, okay, I need your data in order to ship you a t-shirt. So almost 90% people are saying, okay, I want to get a t-shirt. I invest so much. And here are my details. And now you almost know everything because you ask people if their budget will grow. You ask the people about their security challenge, networking challenges, and so on. So you can match this data with your use cases. And if there is a match and there is a budget, then there's no reason not to pick up the phone to that person.
There's another proof point that Kato basically sees this as content in and of itself. It has its own micro funnel.
50 questions, you are basically opening wounds. You are saying, okay, there are challenges like this. What are your challenges? What are your pains? And so on. And then on the 50th questions, we say, okay, Kato is doing this and this and that. Would you like us to give you a phone call? Basically, we're trying to mimic some kind of a contact us request. And 5% people are saying, call me. And you get people that have been educated through questions, open up to be contacted. And again, you know everything. You know the use case, you know the pain. They are basically waiting for you to give them a call.
So then how do you distribute that report and then get leads out of it?
So up until today, we generate a lot of activity and a lot of value just from people answering that survey. So then we generate the report itself. We designed, you know, a report with insights and stuff like 50% of the CIO says that, blah, blah, blah. And then we try to find hooks for PR. So we had a report, which we started working on the PR. We use the report, first off, to give back to everyone who fills it. Here's your survey, here's your data. And maybe the last thing will be we use this report as a friction-free content to use on cold leads. So let's say I'm trying to open a new target market in a specific country or a specific vertical. Those leads are super cold. The first email that we would send them is not, this is Kato, this is what we do, is we have been covered by the media about our survey, enjoy downloading it. That way you basically start your nurture with the content that is definitely not about you. It's all about the lead.
Just to be very clear, this is content that drives actual business, right?
Exactly. Our attribution engine says that it has a lot of revenue pipeline.
Looking back at the time you spent at Kato and I guess in marketing in general, is there anything that you wish you knew, you know, on day one?
Usually, like in the past, I was getting away by using business-oriented claims, okay? Using our technology will solve your issues or will save you X amount of money. But now that I market basically a platform that can basically do everything, is a whole new terrain for me. So knowing which use case is in the lead right now and to be able to talk about it and to convince and have a detailed conversation, also a genuine one, with the buyer, why this technology is not just good for today, is also good for tomorrow, and to prove it with the product, that's an amazing journey for me.
I think another really important thing that this teaches us is that as a marketer, you really need to start inside. You need to know your product backwards and forwards. If you like this episode, you can head to buckman.co.il for a quick 50-question survey. Joking, just joking. You can learn more about Kato at katonetworks.com or head over to buckman.co.il/Kato, that's C-A-T-O, for an awesome visual of their B2B funnel tech stack. It's a serious list of tools that is a result of nearly a decade of trial and error. This may be just the freight marketer in me echoing again that anyone can market something sexy. It's the nuts and bolts of the world that are the real challenge. Until next time, my name is Eitan Buckman. This was an episode of Marketers in Capes with GCMO, and I'm going to go design a new t-shirt now.